But as we jump into this new series, then we are going to hear from the Bible. And whether or not you're a person of faith, whether or not church is something that's familiar for you, these words and this book of Daniel that we're going to be looking at over these next 8 weeks is an amazing story that people throughout history in so many different cultures have found wisdom that has changed their lives. So listen in as we hear from Daniel chapter 1.
Chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, king of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them daily amounts of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. There we went. When we remember.
Eat some moves. Come on, I know some of you wanted to. I know some of you wanted to dance. It is one of the best-selling tracks in UK history. It's the top 10 biggest-selling songs in UK history by Boney M, the German disco band, 1978, if some of you remember it. An absolute banger, a real floor filler from weddings and beyond. And who knows, maybe even on the 40th anniversary, we might play such tracks as well. But alongside the catchy riffs, most of us don't realize when we're dancing around in our finest wedding gear, the pain behind the song. It's a song that refers to an ancient longing for home, that when we are by the rivers of Babylon, we long for home. It's about how to live when the place that you live at the moment isn't where you'd call home. When you're a citizen of a place that you don't belong. Big themes here that are not just big kind of national themes, but intensely personal themes too. In a culture where we write our own story so often, how do we navigate life when we don't feel we belong? That's what this series called Citizen is about. How do we be citizens of one place and another? And of course, it's about a world where we long to see a difference. And of course, in an election year, we had one last week, and of course, we're likely to have one later this year as well. But also, there are other elections around the world, a big year election-wise. How do we be citizens of the world that isn't what we would long for it to be? And as we pray for our city in challenging times, how do we live in Birmingham as citizens of Birmingham when it isn't yet what we would long for it to be? Big themes. But it's not just that. What about when the life that we are living is not the life that we would have chosen? In our families, some of us have wounds. Some of us have stories. Some of us have wishes that we wish our families were different, either the family we grew up in or our families, dare we say, even now. Amongst our friends, when it's not as we would have chosen it. In our jobs, when it's not the dream that we had, and it's a bit humdrum or worse. For those of us with partners, or for those of us who long for partners? For those of us with our children, or for those of us who long for children? For those of us in our achievements, we had dreams and it isn't what we had hoped it would be. For those of us with sexual desires that we wish were different. For those of us in our health, whether it be physical or emotional or mental, how do we live when life isn't what we would have chosen? That's what this series is about, big themes and personal themes. Because many of us, if we're honest, start out with the desire for the first kind of life that we want to lead. We kind of grow up, don't we, with our first choice of life, the kind of things that we want to see, the jobs we want to do, the careers we want to have, the money we want to make, the success we want to have, the partners we long for, the whole circumstances, our first choice life. We grow up with dreams. But there aren't many of us, I was going to ask for a show of hands, but I won't. There aren't many of us for whom the life we have now is our first choice life. Circumstances happen to us. We make wrong choices. Things just carry on. I remember when I was young, I used to dream of being a lawyer. Until I realized you had a lot of reading to do and had to have a lot of detail, which I'm rubbish at. And so then I went on work experience and realized that everyone else on work experience was way better at being a lawyer than I was ever going to be. So I just opened the post. But for many of us, the first choice dreams we had were way more serious than that that are shattered. And so for many of us, we have had to put up with a second choice life. Not the ideal, the jobs we hadn't longed for, and it's sort of okay, but doesn't really fulfill. Some of us not even having jobs. Or some of us, the partners that we longed for haven't turned out quite how we hoped. If they're there at all. Some of us, the status in life that we longed to have, the corner office or whatever it might be, is a long way from the reality of perching on the dining room table. Or even where we live. After being away on holiday and you come back on the M6 and see the towers of Birmingham and begin to wistfully long for the Mediterranean or wherever it might be, even some trees. Many of us have to put up with a second choice life, don't we, if we are honest? But for some of us, it's not even a second choice life. Some of us know deep down that actually the life we live is a no choice life, where everything would not be what we've chosen. Circumstances have happened to us in such a way that the big things of life are very, very different, and we would never have chosen it. How do we live when life isn't what we would have chosen it? That's what this series is about. How do we be citizens of one world, one life, whilst longing for something different? Well, friends, this series, this book of Daniel, reminds us that God has a beautiful habit of meeting us in that mess. Like Daniel, who was in a life where the choices he had would never have been the choices he would have wanted to have made, God shows up in the places that we would never imagine. So here it is. This is what was read right at the beginning of Daniel chapter 1 that we had read to us. Here it is. The book begins with bad news. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Do you hear that? Who the king is? The king of Judah, Jehoiakim. Brilliant. A guy called Nebuchadnezzar, who is king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. This is a long way from the life Daniel would have chosen. Not only has his nation been taken over by the evil Babylon, now Daniel and his friends have been trapped, frankly, as slaves. How do you live when life isn't the life that you'd have chosen? Well, from these opening words, I want to show us three things And the rest of the series will unpack in way more depth. Three important things for all of us if we are living lives or living in a place that is different from the one we'd have chosen. First thing is this. Friends, Daniel reminds us, let's embrace the opportunities of now. Now here at Riverside, we use sometimes a tool called Strength Finder. So Judy on our staff team is our Strength Finder consultant, does this all around the place. It's a brilliant thing. And Judy's a real gift in helping many of us understand, it's this sort of character personality profile thing, understand some of our strengths. It's a really good thing to do. The top of my strength, the number one strength for me, is one called future, which means I'm always thinking of what could be. And there's some brilliant things in that. It's called Strengths Finder. But there is an Achilles heel, which means whenever in the moment, I'm always dissatisfied because it's never quite what could be. I'm always living in the future, so any moment now is never quite enough. Ask my wife Claire or friends, and they will tell you how I'm always moaning. And some of us have faced choices where we wonder if we've made the wrong choice, and therefore we feel crippled by the future potential that no longer seems to be here. Career choices that have taken us in one direction that seems a long way away from where we wanted to go. Partners, bank balances, houses, geography, friends. And some of us, if we're honest, are crippled by a fantasy of what could be. The grass is always greener over the other side until you get there and you realize it's full of thistles. The number of stories I know of people who have had affairs or changed careers on the basis of a fantasy of a life that could be, and then a year or two down the line, wistfully look back to what was and sob. The book of Daniel is unique in the Bible because lots of books in the Bible talk about this moment called the exile when the nation of Judah is taken into Babylon. Lots of books of the Bible talk about that, but many of the others talk quite critically of Babylon. But Daniel is unique. Listen to some words from Jeremiah chapter 29, talking to God's people in Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens, eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. What God is saying to people like Daniel is when you're in a world that isn't what you want it to be, don't just moan, don't just back off, don't just push back, don't complain, don't compromise, rather embrace the opportunities that are unique to now. So for those of us in Birmingham, traveling back on the M6 and we see the lights and we long for the coast or whatever it might be. What opportunities do you have right now? There will be many that if you lived elsewhere. What opportunities do we have as a church in this city right now? Oh, what about you as an individual? Rather than longing always for something else, there are opportunities you have right now that you'd never have if life was different. Friends, you can make a difference where you are, not where you wish you were. And it may even be that one or two of us today, we are wistfully entertaining an escape from this life to a different way. And it might be that God wants to say to you this morning, my child, this moment you find yourself in the challenge that it is, there is a gift. You have an opportunity right now, where you are, not where you wish you were. That's the first thing. Embrace the opportunities now. The second thing is this. Even in that life that you wish was different, in that world you wish was different, know that God is always, 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 always at work. We sang it earlier, didn't we? Even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it, you never stop working. And I want to suggest Daniel shows us that he never stops working, especially when we wish life was different. God has not forgotten us. Listen again from Jeremiah and Daniel. Here they are. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Do you see that? Even in the life that isn't what Daniel had chosen, God is still God. He doesn't stop being in control. He doesn't go, whoops, oh, didn't know that was going to happen. And if God is still God and God is still good, it means that even in this life that is different from the one you would have chosen, he is still at work in you, through you, for you, and for the world. Because listen, do you hear what he said in the book of Jeremiah? Here it is again. Pray to the Lord for it, that's the city you're in, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Do you see that? Even in this world, he's a citizen of a very different world, but pray to God for this world, because if it prospers, so too you will you prosper. Friends, in your life that you wish was different, if you embrace the opportunities now, God is still at work for the world around you, yes, but also for you, for your benefit. If it prospers, you will prosper too. I love this quote from Henri Nouwen. Somehow, in the midst of our tears, a gift is hidden. Somehow, in the midst of our mourning, the first steps of the dance take place. And I wonder if it may be one or two of us this morning need to hear those words, that in this world you find yourself, in this life you find yourself, these circumstances that you wish were different, there is a hidden beauty that God has in store for you that is only available in this moment right now. And if life was all hunky-dory as you'd want it to be, the gift that is there for you would be missed. And you might see the first steps of that dance beginning to take place. So that's the second thing. First thing, embrace this moment. Embrace the opportunities that are only here now. Second thing, know that even in this second or no choice life, God is always at work for the good of the world and for your sake. But there's a third thing. And this, I think, is difficult in our culture. But I wonder if the third message from these opening words of Daniel is this. Friends, embrace the longing that we have in our lives. That yearning for more, that longing for life to be different. Embrace that longing, that tension of living in where we are now that is not yet what we long for it to be. Listen again from verse 2 of Daniel chapter 1 and notice the lowercase g. The Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put it in the treasure house of his God. Do you notice the difference in the G's? Who's the OG, the original G? The Lord of Jehoiakim. And these Babylonians take all the stuff, including Daniel, and put it in the temple of their gods, lowercase g. The point is this. There is always going to be a longing in this life. And we will try to fill it with all sorts of different stuff, but there is only one God. And he's in the business of making all things new. Listen to C.S. Lewis. If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. Even if you had your first choice life or our first choice world, even if everything in our city was just as we would want it to be, even if we got the election results of our dreams, it would never be enough. There would always be a longing for more, for more, for more. And that thing that you wish was different, if you had it, that is only ever a substitute God, lowercase g. The only source of real hope is with the OG, the God. The one who with wide open arms beckons us and says, come, be a citizen of my kingdom. And then one day, for those who trust in Jesus, we will face to face see him in all his goodness. And all those tears we've wept, the lives that we'd longed for, will pale compared to the glory that we see in him. So friends, as we kick off this series, use your longing, not to moan, not to complain, but with a longing for the one who holds this world in his hands, that is even using you right now as a citizen of this world to build the new kingdom for his glory.